Hello, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom and our parenting article on the balancing act. And yesterday we started our article, and today we're going to finish it up, and we're going to be talking about how parents are shifting their careers to achieve something more than what they have right now. And if you have your magazine with you, you could turn to page 19 where the text is, and you could follow along as we read it and discuss it. And I have two gentlemen who have met triggers in their lives and responded to them, who are I'm happy to have with me in the studio today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Campbell. It's great to be back.
And I'm Simon. It's also nice for me to be here today.
And I'm Linda. And I'm in the same room with these two guys.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be talking about continuing our discussion, actually, of talking about work-life balance and how to achieve it so that it's better for you in your life.
Mm.
So let's first of all just take a quick review about what we talked of yesterday. Simon, what's something that stood out to you?
Well, we've been talking about this idea of finding a work-life balance, which just means giving the amount of attention that both family and life and work require, being able to balance that so you can give enough attention to both. And as we've been talking about that, we learned that a lot of people are moving towards more family-friendly jobs. And as part of that discussion, we came across two idioms here. The first one was testing the waters, where we talked about how someone might test a situation before they commit to it. And then we talked about taking a leap, which means committing fully to something. And we saw that in the example of Cynthia Demos, who was a news anchor person who quit her job so that she could take on new jobs, but from home. And so she took the leap and took the risk that came with that.
And how about you, Campbell?
Well, I thought it was really interesting to find out that actually it's more of a trend for people to be quitting their jobs and to be seeking different jobs, and even if that means taking a pay cut, you know, and that a lot of times there's a trigger involved with that, and that trigger can be either work or home related. We talked about maybe the birth of a child or a new demanding boss or new responsibilities or missing too many milestone events.
Okay. And, you know, when you talked about it's a trend, okay, it's a trend starting from 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really interesting how quickly it has changed.
Right.
Because 4 years ago, people were leaving their jobs for more money.
Mm-hmm.
And now we learned this term, or we talked about this term, exit interview, which is an interview you have with HR usually when you're leaving a job so that they can find out why. And I think it's for both sides to have, you know, like a nice leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're finding out is that at least a third of the workers want a better work-life situation, which is quite different than leaving for more money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today we're going to continue our discussion of this topic, balancing act, and find out what is going on, if there's anything new going on, and that money isn't everything. And sometimes we think that it is, and we're going to find out that people are thinking differently. So if you have your magazine or your mobile device, maybe you want to follow along with us. We're going to read this first section at the top in the left-hand column on page 19.
For Denny Harris, the trigger was the lure of a better work situation for a mom with young daughters. Harris had been marketing director for two Mercedes-Benz dealerships in South Florida when an opportunity came her way to hold a similar position at her daughter's school. It was a decision that required weighing all factors. The upside included seeing her children during the workday and sharing the same schedule with them. The trade-off was leaving the corporate world and earning less. Everything in life is a give and take, Harris says. For a mom, working at your children's school is the best possible place to be.
So, Campbell, you were talking about triggers earlier, and here we see another trigger.
That's right. So we hear about a woman named Denny Harris, and her trigger was the lure of a better working situation for a mom with young daughters.
And what did she decide to do?
Well, she originally was working as a marketing director for two Mercedes-Benz dealerships, high-end car dealerships in South Florida. But then an opportunity came up where she could do the same job, but for her daughter's school.
I think we had this discussion before we started this. This must be a private school.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't heard of a lot of marketing directors in schools before.
Right.
But I think with the competition among private schools that this must be a new trend.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went from being a marketing director for two Mercedes-Benz dealerships to a school. And what did she do to make this decision, Simon?
Well, it says she needed to weigh all factors, which means consider all of the different aspects of the decision. And it goes on to list some of those. It says the upside or the positive part about changing jobs included seeing her children during the workday and sharing the same schedule with them. And so she wanted to spend more time with her children, and this trigger was a job opportunity that allowed her to do that. The trade-off or the negative thing that was associated with this change was leaving the corporate world and earning less. And we talked about that a little bit yesterday, how maybe people from younger generations now, we are used to having the kind of income that comes with two full-time salaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be hard for us, even though we want this work-life balance, it can be hard to make the decision to go for less money, lower income.
I like what she considers to be her upside. You know, just I'm sure that she didn't spend a lot of time with her kids during the day because she was also working, but, you know, being near them and also the same schedule. So for holidays, you know, she had the same Christmas vacation that they had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure she had the whole summer off with them, but at least part of it. So the days off, the weekends, you know, I think that means a lot to people.
Sure, and I mean, even just the day-to-day getting off of work at the same time, you know, I think a lot of schools get out at 2:30, 3 o'clock, you know, but parents don't get off work till 5 or 6.
Yeah, so it makes a big difference. You don't have to worry about who's going to pick them up, what they're going to do, all of those kind of things. It is true, though, it is a trade-off because obviously when you leave a corporate world, especially something like Mercedes-Benz dealerships and go to a school, there's probably going to be a huge difference in pay.
Right.
But I like her attitude. Everything in life is a give and take, and this is a noun, okay? It just means, you know, willingness to accept suggestions from somebody and give up some of your own suggestions. And here, it's more than suggestions. I mean, that was our definition. But here, it's maybe you're going to give up some money for that's the giving part, and the taking part is, you know, being with your kids more.
Right, yeah. I want to talk a little bit about that term upside. You know, a lot of times we talk about the pros and cons of a situation. And so upside is, you know, the upside of things is the pros. And then the downside, the opposite of upside is the downside. And those are the cons. So she's weighing all the factors, the upsides and the downsides, the pros and the cons.
And she decides to make the trade-off.
Yes.
Okay. And she said that if you're a mom, if you work at your kid's school, it's the best possible place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that not every mother feels this way.
Right.
You know, some... Why are you laughing, Simon?
Because I've worked in schools.
And?
Know, children aren't the same at school as they are at home.
Well, they weren't your children you were with, though, remember.
Yeah.
But it's true, they aren't.
No, they're not. You know, parents... Yeah. You wouldn't believe what your children are like in public. You're not around.
Well, you know, I am curious. I am often curious of, you know, what's going on in my daughter's school. And I do want to, you know, I sometimes wish I were there to be able to keep an eye on her. But, I mean, at the same time, I think it's good for her to learn to be independent and take care of herself.
Simon's going to laugh again.
Mm-hmm. I'm already laughing.
Inside. So do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing, Simon?
To go work at your kid's school, I think it's fine. You know, it depends on individual people.
Yeah, to each his or her own.
If she's happy with it, then that is a wonderful choice she has made. Yeah.
Says the man with no children.
I think a lot of people would be surprised, though. You know, if they could see their children at school.
Simon sounds a little bit jaded.
Well, they're very different, right? Like, yeah.
Well, okay, well, let's continue with our article. We're now going to read the next section called Not Anything New.
Not Anything New. In the struggle to achieve work-life balance, working mothers have been quitting jobs for more than a decade, opting to stay home with their children when financially possible. But today, both men and women are making career pivots or job changes, choosing work options that better fit their desired lifestyle. The shift often means serious contemplation of trade-offs, including financial sacrifices, advancement, and fulfillment. Doug Bartel, who left his job as a TV news producer more than a decade ago, says that what working fathers often look for is predictability and control over their schedules. They are starting their own law firms or becoming self-employed consultants to gain that control.
So we're seeing that there is a struggle, you know, for this work-life balance, and that working mothers have been quitting for more than a decade. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that yesterday a little bit, too, you know, the trend from stay-at-home moms all the time to people starting in the workforce and then staying home and then trying to come back. And now it seems that they are trying to, you know, manage both at the same time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I know for my wife, it's hard being at home all the time. I think it just helps to have a little bit of an outlet and just, you know, just every once in a while be able to get out of the house.
Maybe more than every once in a while. And what's happening today, Simon? It says that what are both men and women doing?
Well, basically, people are trying to make pivots now, so they're trying to change their work situation so that it fits a little better with their lives. I think it's interesting, though, they talked at the beginning of this paragraph about women quitting their jobs, you know, working mothers quitting their jobs to get more work-life balance. It's interesting because, of course, this article is written from a very American perspective, and the experience of most people here in Asia will have been fairly different. Over the last 60 years, it was pretty common for young unmarried women to sort of go and get a job in a factory or sort of an urban center, and then when they get married, they quit, they go home, they become housewives. And I think that's been going on for a really long time. But it's also important then to note that there's really kind of a difference between these jobs that are unskilled or very low skilled or maybe semi-skilled jobs where people are either all in or all out, and people who are pivoting to new positions, because that's really kind of a higher level position that requires a lot more skill and training. And so for companies, it's worthwhile to accommodate people's sort of personal life changes in order to keep that sort of trained, experienced staff around, I suppose.
I think it's kind of interesting because as we've been reading this, we were just talking about this, that these are all pretty high-level jobs that they're giving it examples of. Mm-hmm. So they are maybe more financially situated so that they can make some of these decisions,
right,
or some of these changes. They're not forced into the job market just to buy food or pay for their house or pay rent or pay for their kids to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
So our example here, well, I mean, I think it does mean, it says the shift in line 23, it says the shift or the change means serious contemplation or serious thought of the trade-offs, and that means finances, our financial sacrifices, advancement, and fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
But then our next example is a TV news producer.
Right.
And that's not a, you know, a low-paying job.
Mm-hmm.
The other reason I think this is important is because I can sort of envision a lot of our listeners saying, like, I really wish I could make a pivot, but, you know, I can't, like, mm-hmm. get flexibility at my job. And I think it's important for listeners who are kind of feeling that way to realize that being able to get this flexibility in your work is actually a really new thing
mm-hmm.
in North America. Like, it has not been this way for very long.
Right.
And for many people, it's still not actually
right.
possible.
Right.
It's just kind of a trend that's emerging.
Right.
And so hang tight 20, 30 years from now, you too might be mm-hmm. able to pivot
right.
in your job.
Well, if we go back to yesterday, it's only a third of the of people that are leaving to make this change.
Yeah.
So while it is, you know, high numbers, number-wise, you know, percentage-wise, it's, you know, still a small percentage or still a small amount of people being able to do this.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I think it's good to note also that even though this is a parenting article, there are people that aren't parents that are making this shift, right? They just, because they don't, they want to have a better lifestyle or a different lifestyle, just like your son, Linda.
Right.
He's not a parent yet, but he shifted because there was something that he didn't like about his job.
Right. It was just required too much.
Well, and we talked about that, too, yesterday, how with, you know, for example, my grandparents' generation, like the way you knew you weren't poor is your dad made enough money that your mother didn't have to work, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you knew you were kind of middle class. And that's kind of the benefit of having these sort of higher level, higher salary jobs is that if you are willing to move things around and shift things around a bit, you really can do, you know, fairly well with one income or one and a half incomes or things like that. It's possible to accept a pay cut.
Right.
Whereas for people who are on lower incomes, it would be much, much harder.
Yeah. Right. And we see that it's not just women we're talking about here. You know, we want to emphasize that as well. It's also men that are making these changes because, my son aside, but it's also this father, you know, it's a working father, and he's saying that they want predictability in their schedule and control over their schedules. And a lot of jobs don't offer that.
Right. Yeah, and especially as a TV news producer, again, news is very, there isn't a set time when news comes out. When it comes out, you got to be on call. You got to be ready to respond. So he needed more stability. He needed more predictability.
Well, I think we can change that word need to want. He wanted more because of his family in this situation. So, but going back again to what Simon said, if you look at these examples, these fathers, they're starting their own law firms, are becoming consultants to gain control. And those are not, you know, menial task jobs.
How many consultants can there possibly be?
A lot, apparently.
Not one third of the workforce, though.
But I mean, I think we do find that there's that shift towards entrepreneurship, right? Starting something of your own and becoming your own boss rather than working for someone else.
But what, you know what I found in Asia when I moved to Asia, but that was 30 years ago, is that people wanted their own business. You know, a lot of people were working at a job so that they could leave there and start their own business. You know, I think there's a lot of entrepreneurship in Asia. And I think part of it is people want to be their own boss, and maybe they also want to be, freer. And we are now leading into our last section, our second column on page 19, where we read the title here, Money Isn't Everything. So let's listen to this reading now.
Money isn't everything. Big salaries aren't necessarily the golden handcuffs they used to be. With the traditional 40-hour work week becoming obsolete, a survey of nearly 9,700 full-time workers by the global firm of Ernst & Young found that most parents are willing to make career and financial concessions for work-life balance. What to do when making the shift? Making a career shift often takes being creative in seeking alternatives, powering through inevitable self-doubt, and lining up the support of family. It also helps that moms like Demos have other working parents who have taken the leap too, and act as a support group or even as business referrals.
And so this section started with a very controversial phrase: "Money isn't everything." And we just got through talking about how it might be nearly everything if you're on the edge of starving. But in this case, we're not talking about those people. And so it goes on to say here: big salaries aren't necessarily the golden handcuffs they used to be.
Mm.
And that is an interesting term there. We have it listed down in our specialized terms. Golden handcuffs essentially are defined here as benefits provided by an employer as a way of discouraging an employee, especially a high-ranking one, to leave their job and work elsewhere. And so the idea here is that you can't leave your job because the benefits are just so good that you would have a hard time living without them.
Have you ever heard this term before?
Yes.
Have you?
I haven't.
I've never heard of it.
I find myself in golden handcuffs almost every day here.
All right. So we know that handcuffs are things that the police officers put on criminals to kind of keep their hands in place, right? And when we add the idea of a golden handcuff, it's just kind of the idea that, you know, you give them certain benefits, a higher salary or different, you know, paid vacation, things like that to keep them at their job.
Okay. And we see that also, are you finding this? The traditional 40-hour work week is becoming obsolete.
Yeah, and that, I think that is an interesting kind of phrase because it could go either way here. Basically, they're saying salaries aren't as important as they used to be keeping employees. And the reason for that is that the traditional 40-hour work week is becoming obsolete, meaning it's becoming a thing of the past that isn't true anymore. And my assumption here is actually that that means these higher income workers are actually working much more than 40 hours a week now. They're finding their lives being really dominated by work. And so, you know, it's just not worth giving up that much for the salary anymore.
Right. And they found this out by a survey. You know, it's not just one or two people we're talking about. They talked to 9,700 full-time workers. And there's this firm, Ernst & Young, and this is an accounting firm, a consulting firm, that they found that parents are willing to make concessions in their career and financially for this work-life balance. And if you make a concession for something, this is the noun for concede, which means to yield. You have to give something up.
Mm. And I actually sort of have personal experience with this because for many years in my career, I worked sort of 80-90-hour work weeks. And one of the discoveries I made fairly early on is that the difference between working 80 and 90 hours a week is not worth the extra money.
Mm.
So it's, you kind of reach a point where you're just like so drained and so tired all the time, you don't care about the extra money. And cutting back a little bit, even if you lose money or benefits or whatever, it improves your quality of life so much that it's well worthwhile. And I think basically that's what we're talking about, people reaching that point. And, you know, there have been all kinds of other trends that kind of feed into this that we've talked about on Advanced. For example, like we've talked about people using smartphones and smartphones allowing their work life to intrude into their personal life. So they're checking work emails before they go to bed and they're just working all the time, right? And that's basically what they mean, I think, by the 40-hour work week becoming obsolete.
Okay, so you think it's becoming obsolete going up?
Yeah, I think people are working more.
Do you think?
Well, I think it can go either way. I mean, there was that book, that famous book, The 4-Hour Work Week, you know.
Yeah.
And so then it is, you know, there are people who are looking to work less, you know, but maybe do more with their time.
But admittedly, I would say that is part of this trend, like people wanting to work less. Because I think, I mean, bear in mind here, we're not talking about necessarily laborers where there's sort of like legislation, laws that are governing the work week. We're talking about like salaried professionals whose bosses are pressuring them to answer within 5 minutes of receiving the email or lose your bonus and, you know, stuff like that. Very high pressure jobs. We're talking about lawyers, consultants, people like that.
Yeah. I think that that's, I mean, that's what I heard from my son in the career that he was involved with, because they were going to go on vacation and all of him and his colleagues received stacks of work they had to get done over this period of time. So none of them even really got the holiday. It was like over Christmas or something. Something, you know, those kind of expectations. But we now have this last section, what to do when making the shift. And it says it takes being creative in seeking alternatives, powering through inevitable self-doubt, because I'm sure that self-doubt comes into it. Can I really do this? Can I accomplish this? And lining up the support of family. Does this all make sense to you guys?
Sure, for sure.
Yeah.
So I think that these three verbs here and ideas really cover a whole range of things that have to happen. And also in, like for Demos, you know, working parents, she knew other moms that had taken the leap, and they become a support group or even business referrals so that it becomes possible. So it also involves a lot of networking. You're not doing this on your own.
Right.
Well, we thank you for joining us for this article. We hope that as you're evaluating your life and your work balance in your life, if you have young kids or donors, what's taking too much of your time, you can use some of these ideas to think through what you want.
And do take the time to check the QR code at the top of page 18 there. It'll take you to our topic talks, and you can watch some videos about this topic that provide you with more information and a chance to review some of the vocabulary words and things like that.
And also, we have a sidebar here at the bottom of this page we didn't get a chance to talk about, but it's pretty interesting, another kind of short story about what one woman did when she changed paths in her life. So we hope you'll join us again here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Thank you for being with us today. Bye for now.
Bye.